Yeah. Hello, by the way.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. I was thinking about what Banji talked about in terms of alienated and integrated awareness. Uh-huh. I was wondering how the yoga child would sort of like, you know, pick out and tease out. How it would describe both of those both misapprehensions of the Dharma, alienated awareness as compared to integrated awareness, what Banji calls integrated awareness.
Well, I suppose alienated experience is where you have an idea about your experience without any feeling of it, so that you're aware predominantly through your kind of forced-willed understanding of it, rather than through your direct feeling of it. You're having a minimum of sensation. So it's something added on to. If you like, you could even say that an interpretation of your experience in terms of a subject that has it and an object that has it is a kind of alienation from experience. But, of course, that's at the existential level, whereas alienated awareness in Bhante's description of it is a psychological experience.
So we have an idea about what we're experiencing, and we see our experience is that idea. With an integrated awareness, what we're trying to have is the full experience itself.
Well, I think Banti was particularly concerned just with people not experiencing their feelings. It's as simple as that, I think. So that, they would have the idea of being aware, being mindful, but without any sensations, as it were, and any feelings. Apparently, this is what used to happen. We used to do it to ourselves. So I think it's a rather separate sort. It's more of a psychological phenomenon than an existential one. Whereas the false interpretation of our experience in terms of a subject and object, although it is an alienation from reality, it's not a psychological alienation. You can have your You can sense your senses and feel your feelings.
Mm. Is the resulting consciousness?
Yeah.
Is it just the
Vijnana? No, that's the Alaya Vijnana.
Oh, it's
the resultant. Okay. Yeah, yeah. The Manas is the Klishta Mana Vijnana. Yeah, Yogacara evolved over 1,000 years, and it got more and more complex. What we're dealing with here is the very early and quite simple roots of Yogacara. So you later get concepts like the absolute Alaya and so on. I'm not going to be looking at Alaya from that point of view. I'm going to be looking at it from the early Yogacara point of view.
Spiti, I mean, you were talking about you're going to go more into the Alaya.
Yeah.
The simpler model here. Because we have got the Klishta Mana Vijnana.
That's the Klishta Mana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It,
right, I see, yeah.
So, I'm curious about is if one's going to direct one's mind to a better model, how does one deal with the more deeper levels of the Alaya Vijnana, which if they're to do with, would they come through the defilement?
Right.
How does one deal with,
right,
for instance, very important aspects like instinctual drives?
Right. Yeah.
Maybe you're going to say something about
that
at another
time,
but I'm really interested if you're not.
Well, broadly speaking, the answer of the Yogacara is the quite traditional one of Sila Samadhi Prajna, so that you work on the Alaya by acting skillfully, by developing meditative states, and by trying to get a clearer and more accurate view of reality. And what that does is it modifies the Alaya.
Well, without going into my
Yeah, of course, it may be that we're talking from slight cross purposes. There may be a different. There are different ideas about the Alaya.
Okay.
Yeah.
All I was going to say, which I think the interest around my own experience here, was that if you're actually going for very skillful means and you're doing all the right things,
right,
it could possibly bring up things which could be quite unwholesome or unskillful.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, like pull them up
yeah.
into your consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah.
In which case that could be quite difficult to do.
Yeah. 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 Well,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it sounds very nice model. Mm. My actual experience on the first one, it doesn't actually work in the way that's understood, certainly by a collective group of people.
Well, we haven't really given it very much content yet, so I think it might be a little premature to quarrel with it. I don't think it's saying it's easy. That's not what's implied at all. But the basic working, the basic model is that you work on the alia indirectly. That's the point, that you alter the structure of consciousness. Of course, that may be a quite complicated process and a quite difficult process. But in traditional contexts, there would be a great deal of confession and devotion involved. We're shorn of all that. We don't have the same sort of conviction in that more mythic framework, if you like. So, in some senses, when we look at these sort of ideas, we're looking at them as ideas, notwithstanding what I've said about this as not a philosophical construction. But it would always be approached within a context of very strong conviction in the presence of bodhisattvas, of Buddhas, of other forces, so that there's a whole framework, broader framework, which is we're not going to touch on, which is implied and assumed, so that if you're doing this and you're doing your Shila and your Samadhi and things come up, you go and light loads and loads of incense, you build lots and lots of stupas, etc., etc. Do you see what I mean? That's the framework within which that's all dealt with traditionally. We're having to find our own way to deal with those, but the model itself doesn't look at that. But I don't think it's a contradiction with it. Yeah.
But I am obviously interested in a Westerner.
Yeah, sure.
Being brought up in a Western culture.
Sure.
And we are taking an Eastern model.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm trying to interpret it through my own
conditioning. Yeah. I think, for instance, I think it's very interesting that Shila, I think for us, simply means moral action. That would traditionally be practiced, as I say, in a very strong conviction that you could purify yourself through skillful action. You'd be convinced that was the case. So if things emerged within you, you'd be able to work those out within that framework. But that's not there for us. Well, maybe for some of us. The same principle applies, yeah. Yeah. We need to broaden our conception of Shila. I think it's what, in a way, emerges from what Padmapani is saying. It's not simply being a good boy or girl. It's something much more engaging and difficult. Yeah, I think you could say that. That within the context in which Buddhism has developed, there is always a very strong conviction in if you like, another world, an imaginal world, whose forces you can draw on. And that's part of our dilemma, that we inherit aspects of Buddhism which we have to already reinterpret, even something like the quasi-philosophical system like the Yogacara. But the other aspects of it are far more difficult to integrate. And I think are going to take much longer.
Seems to me that in those kind of
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. 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 That's right. Yeah. 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 It may work, but yeah, what is being said is that what has been given is a model for how to work, but not or for what's happening when you're working, but not of what you do, if you see what I mean. And we'd have to read in other things. But the principle is exactly the same, that you do work that modifies the alia so that it emerges in a more fluid and flexible way. We better finish there.